But it's really great, honestly, to be with you this morning. And I've got a sense in my heart for you this morning, and I'm very excited about it. And I want to speak about the Holy Spirit. That's what I want to speak about. And I've got a feeling in the Lord that He really wants to come meet with us this morning. So I'm excited about that.
Here we go.
All right, so what an incredible time it's been with Ewan McCrae. That guy from Scotland who just came and brought such power and anointing into us as a people and just spoke so powerfully about the spiritual realm that we face, hey? And he used a scripture, a well-known scripture in Ephesians 6, verses 11 to 12. And it says this, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And he spoke a lot about that scripture. It's probably one of the key anchor scriptures for the entire of the week that he was with us. I just want to bring a couple things out here first, just to orientate us around that the fact is that although we see everything in the physical, there is a root behind everything in the physical, and that is the spiritual. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Even what's happening now with Iran, right now, with the bombing that's happening in this world, there is a power behind that that is actually more at play, right? And that's why we pray to God. It's amazing that we can pray for authorities, that there's a spiritual dynamic that we could even partake with in God in praying for God's will to be done on the face of this planet. Isn't that awesome? Why is that? It's because God ultimately is behind the scenes as well as the devil, busy working his will and his purpose for our lives. So there's such a work. And in the struggle that we've just read now, we read as well, the enemy has schemes against us. There's an actual purpose and strategy for your life and for mine. I like to think that the devil is not very creative. He's not a creative being at all. God's very creative. The devil isn't. What the devil will just do is he looks to analyze our lives. He looks at what we are weak in. And he'll just attack us in that thing over and over and over again. If there's a chink in our armor, that's what he would aim for. I think it would be a good strategy if I was the enemy, don't you think? Aiming for our weakness. And that's what's so important for us, that if we're going to stand firm in the Lord, we learn where our weaknesses are, and then we ask God to help us in that space. Another word in the Greek for schemes is to be wily, to trick, to lie in wait. So basically, a scheme is a strategy or trick intended to deceive or ensnare through temptation, threat, or intimidation. So the devil knows how to get us. And he wants to snare us with ultimately sin. And sin separates us from God. And if he gets us in a space of separation from God, he's on our way to victory over our lives. Another verse, very briefly, just to anchor us in the spiritual, is that in John 10, verse 10, Jesus himself says of the devil, "The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Where the devil comes to destroy only, by the way, there's no good in the devil, only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes to bring life. I want to speak about Holy Spirit, that liquid love that was poured over me that evening that I gave my life to Jesus. That love that I felt that was so different to the demonic. You know, the demonic comes to oppress. The demonic comes to intimidate. The demonic comes to bring fear, to steal from our lives, to kill anything good in our lives, and to utterly destroy us. The key goal of the enemy is to wipe us out. But there's another spirit in this world, friends, and that's Holy Spirit. And he is completely opposite to that. He is loving. He is kind. He is gentle. He is strong. He is powerful. There's a word that Jesus calls Holy Spirit, and that's the word parakletos. And let's read that scripture together. John chapter 14, verses 15 to 17. Jesus himself said, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit, capital S, of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Remember, spiritual is always behind the physical. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. You see, we don't just get Jesus and the Father at salvation. We also get Holy Spirit. And he comes and lives with us. In fact, he can't be closer to you and to me because he lives in us. Which means everywhere you go as a believer, he goes with you. Every time you wake up, Holy Spirit's with you. Every time you go to work, Holy Spirit's with you. Every single time you go into a difficult situation, difficult boss, difficult family situation, Holy Spirit is with you. And he lives in you. And not just with you and in you, but he is called advocate. That word advocate is such a wonderful word. That word advocate is parakletos. It means to come alongside. It means to help. It means to come and support. An advocate in a law situation would be someone who would come alongside you and help defend you. In fact, on your behalf, would come and present, come and defend you. What does Holy Spirit do? Comes alongside you and me to help and to defend us and to protect us against the enemy. Isn't it amazing? So that's who Holy Spirit is. And you know what? In Acts, he certainly did that with the disciples, the apostles. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." And friends, that's exactly what happened. Power came on them. Most incredible power. And we can read in Acts chapter 2 about the day of Pentecost, where there seemed like a rushing wind, sounded like a rushing wind coming through this meeting of disciples who were just waiting. Jesus just said, wait. They didn't know how long to wait. We're just going to wait for Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit hadn't been poured out yet. But in that day, Holy Spirit came into that room like a wind. It was powerful. Not only did he come like a wind, he came what looked like to see tongues of fire sitting on their heads. And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and power came on them. Before that, they were nervous. The leader that they followed, Jesus Christ, who they thought was going to be this Messiah to rescue them from the Roman oppression, was gone, was crucified, an embarrassing death, was mocked, was ridiculed. Now we're going, what's going to happen about our lives? We've lost our leaders. What we thought was going to be a revolution is no longer that. But in a moment, Holy Spirit came and brought power and boldness and filled them. They spoke in other tongues. And suddenly a man like Peter, who was nervous, steps up in utter boldness, preaches the gospel. 3,000 people get saved and get touched by Holy Spirit. And suddenly the church is birthed. How awesome is that? Can you imagine going from about 120 people to 3,000 people in a moment? That's the power of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit can come on you and me and make us do things for God, which we cannot do in our own strength. He empowers us, friends. There's three aspects I want to speak about Holy Spirit briefly this morning. The one is the Holy Spirit empowers us. He took the apostles from fear and uncertainty to faith and boldness. And the Holy Spirit can empower you and me too. I think about my own life. I think out of my childhood, one of the biggest things I struggled with, I still do to me, if there's a chink in my armor that I've got to be careful of, that the devil can use a scheme against me, it would be fear. I think it's because of being a child, knowing that something's going to come to me that I don't have any power against. And then also, I think the outworking of that, I used to get a fear of failure, a fear of rejection, a fear of the opinions of men, and that would actually control a lot of how I lived. You know, when we learn techniques on how to protect ourselves, if we're not careful, those protective techniques can become prisons. And before we know it, we live up in a way of a lifestyle that actually isn't God's best for us. We know a way of managing life on earth. And as long as I do these certain things, I'll be protected. So I learned techniques because I didn't want to get hurt, right? I had a fear of rejection, so I learned a way of living that would just, you know, just how do I act around certain people? I'd be a chameleon, be who people want me to be, because then they won't get upset with me, and then I won't get rejected. Does that make sense? And we can learn these techniques, but it's a prison, friends. It's a prison. Any way of living outside the freedom. Remember Jesus says, I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus and Holy Spirit comes to empower us and to set us free from things like that. And what worked for me with fear was I had to learn two things. I had to learn to stand on the Word of God. So what God says about you and me is truth. It's the Word of truth. And God is ultimate truth. If He says something over you and me, if we believe it, it's truth over our lives. And I had to replace the lies that I believed about myself with the truth of God. But the second thing was I had to learn how to practice the presence of God. I had to learn as a believer how to connect with Holy Spirit, who we cannot see. I mean, we generally cannot see Holy Spirit. But I can tell you, friends, right now, Holy Spirit is in this meeting. Right now. He is. The Word says in Psalms that if I go up to the heights, He is there. If I descend to the depths, He is there. He is with you and me right now. He is in this auditorium, and He is there for you to empower you and me to live an incredible life for Him. And as I learned to wait in the presence of God, He would soften me, He would quieten me, and then He would speak to me and replace fear with Himself. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, chapter 1 verse 6 to 7, we can read it now. There was another guy in the Bible that we can relate to, and that's Timothy. And Paul said this to Timothy, who was a young man tasked with leading a church. And he seemed to be someone who struggled with fear and timidity. And this is what Paul writes to him. For this reason, I remind you, Timothy, to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and self-control. There is a spirit of power and of love and of self-control that we don't have to give into the prisons that we've learned through bad habits in our lives, but we can be controlled by God and we can be used by Him to live the life that we are called to live. That you, in who you are and what you've been given by God, because remember, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So when you and I truly live in the identity that God has given you and me on this face of this planet, we'll begin to allow God to work through us in a wonderful way to be an impact, not just for Him, but for the world. And I think, friends, I feel God wants to do that for some of us this morning. Well, are you with me? Okay, the second thing I want to say is the Holy Spirit enables us to live holy lives. So key for us as believers, because we're in a wrestle, friends. I mean, we don't have to go far in this world to be tempted. You've got to watch your eyes. You've got to watch what you see. You've got to watch on TV. You've got to watch what's on the radio. You've got to be careful with what songs you listen to. I mean, you can be shopping in Spa and a terrible song can come on the radio, and it's like, oh my word. You know, there's so many avenues for the devil to go for us. But because we are believers, we have Holy Spirit who is with us and in us, which means He's always available to help us when we're being tempted by the enemy. Amen. I'm going to read a meaty part of Scripture now, but I think it's important for us to read it together so that we can be orientated around the Word of God, and then I'm going to bring some points out of it. So are you ready with me? Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 25. You can turn there if you've got your Bible with you, or you can read with me on the screen. It says this, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Simple. Remember, the word is truth. It's simple. If we walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify desires of the flesh. And he embellishes that. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, which is sensuality and irresponsibility and lack of self-control. That's what debauchery means. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I hope that's an encouraging scripture for you. Oh my word. So what a wonderful scripture. You don't have to be held by the flesh. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you've been struggling with a pattern in your life that you've been struggling to break. Well, I have great news for you. Holy Spirit is here today to set you free from the flesh, from the desires of the sinful nature. The Amplified says this, the flesh can be defined as an impulse within us to want to sin. It's an impulse. Amplifier says it's the sinful nature which responds impulsively without regard for God and His precepts. And you'll know that feeling. I'm sure you do. I know it, unfortunately, very well. Is that when I'm faced with temptation, there's a wrestle in me. It's the conflict. Oh, God, I know I shouldn't. I know Your word is true. I really want to do that. I really want to do that. That passion, that desire. And there's the wrestle right there, you know? But I really believe, friends, when we get touched by Holy Spirit, He fills us. He enables us. He empowers us to say no. He enables us to say no. I don't think we fall into sin. I think we choose sin. So Scripture says, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify desires. If means choice. But you know, I'm sure as well as I do, that my own strength doesn't get me very far. Just saying no in myself does not get me very far. I need help. And what I want to say this morning is I have faith in my heart that Holy Spirit wants to come this morning and set some of us free from addictions, from struggles, from those things in your life that you really want freedom from, but you don't know how to do it. Holy Spirit is here to help you and me to walk in more. So, look at this scripture very quickly. 1 Peter 2, verse 11 in the ESV says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." It's a war, friends. We are in a war in this world to live right for God. And if you're a believer, your heart is, I'm sure, to walk in God's ways, but we cannot do it without Holy Spirit. We're fooling ourselves if we don't have Holy Spirit to help us. And then quickly, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh," which we read. And then quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. And I'll jump quickly to this part. It says, "As you behold the Lord, we are being transformed from one image to from one degree to the next, for this comes from the Lord is the Spirit." So, when we get transformed by God, we live a life that's more pleasing to Him. Who transforms you and me? This comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Holy Spirit in you and me can transform us. Enable us to think like Jesus. Enable us to act like Jesus. To enable us to choose what Jesus would want us to choose. That's what Holy Spirit wants to do. He can transform you and me. And that's the wonderful hope we have. Lastly, I want to say, is Holy Spirit wants to fill us. He wants to fill us. You see, He doesn't just want to come alongside us. He wants to fill us. There's something about our lives when there is a wrestle with the flesh that we've just read, where it's more difficult to choose the Holy Spirit when we aren't filled with Holy Spirit. You know, when you give it, when you've got a lot of something, it's much easier to do something with it, right? I'm not particularly talented in sport. I wish I was. On the odd occasion, I might be able to pull out a filthy backhand against Antel on the paddle court. Not many times, but on the odd occasion. Squash court, definitely. But, you know, that's not something that I can naturally do very easy. I can work hard at it, but that's something that I don't naturally do easily in myself. And so the times in our lives when there are things we don't can't naturally do. Now, I wish Holy Spirit would come and fill me with the ability to destroy until on the paddle court. But that's not how the Holy Spirit works. There's much more important things, for instance, sport. It's how to live a life holy and pleasing to God. Why are we here if not to glorify His name? How can we glorify His name unless we get the one who's been given to us to enable us to live free? And friends, that's what Holy Spirit wants to do in you and me. Are you with me? I quickly want to talk about how to be filled with the Spirit. Then we're going to create a space this morning to come and receive from Holy Spirit, who I believe wants to come and touch us this morning. Just a quick theology on what infilling looks like. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says this: do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Paul here is talking about a present continuous tense in the Greek. It's not be filled once with the Spirit. It actually means to be continuously filled all the time with the Holy Spirit. It's a continuous act in the Greek. When people read that in the Greek, they understood it's not a once-off. It's a continuous thing. I'm going to show an example in the Scriptures of Peter and how the Lord did that in him. In Acts chapter 2, the disciples and those with them were all filled with the Spirit. I'm going to quickly show it to you. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Lord. And we just spoke about that. There was Pentecost. So Peter was there at Pentecost. And what happened? He was empowered to preach the word powerfully. So we said in Acts chapter 2. Two chapters later, in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, we read this. Peter, at the time, was standing before the Sanhedrin. They're going, what has just happened? You know, this uproar, this crazy event that happened at this festival in Jerusalem. What happened? And now Peter's giving an account. And it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, and he addresses the rulers and the elders. So there was a filling still that Peter had in Acts chapter 4, verse 8. And then later in that chapter, it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, when Peter and the other apostles had returned to the church to tell what had happened, they joined together in prayer. It says this: after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. What happened when they were filled? They spoke the word of God boldly. There was an empowering of Holy Spirit. But Peter was there, and it seemed he was filled again. Okay. It seems appropriate to understand that filling with Holy Spirit is not a one-time event, but is an event that can occur over and over again in a Christian's life. And as we read this morning, if you want to be free from the flesh, if we want to be empowered by God, if we want to be freed from the chains that can keep us in prisons, well, then we need to be filled with Holy Spirit. The more we have Holy Spirit filling every part of our minds, hearts, and souls, the less hold the flesh is over us. It's like a mega booster shot in the Spirit to supercharge us to say no to the flesh and to sin. And so in conclusion, this morning, I want to make a call for us. There's a call for us as believers that I want to call you to. If you are struggling with fear this morning like I was, what is God wanting to do for your life? I believe that God wants to set you free from that prison. Might not be fear. As I've been talking to you, you will know your struggle. You will know the issue that you deal with. This morning as a believer, do you need a fresh empowering of the Holy Spirit to live a life of conviction and boldness? Do you need God to come and enable you to stand firm again this morning? Well, I want to tell you, friends, there is a Paracletos in this building this morning who wants to come and meet with you and me. And as he did in Acts thousands of years ago, he is able to do today. Why is that? Because the word tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change like shifting shadows. God's true to his character. His character was to help then. His character is to help you and me this morning. How cool is that? For you, maybe for some of you this morning, do you wrestle too much with your fleshly desires to sin? And you need help. You need help by the Holy Spirit to say no to evil desires and to fleshly struggles. I believe this morning, because Holy Spirit's here, not because of me, because Holy Spirit's here, that he wants to set some of us free from that. And then lastly, do you want a fresh infilling of Holy Spirit? And empowering to live and to allow Holy Spirit to transform your heart and your mind and your thinking. We'll let him meet you in this place this morning.